And in the studio from the Environment Centre, we've got Jasmine and Liz. Morning.
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 Atamari.
So Jasmine, we all know from the Environment Centre, comes in for a chat quite often. Liz, you're usually talking from the extreme perspective, but you're on the board for, is board the right word for the Environment Centre?
Or
the
committee.
The committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Environment Centre Committee.
Rightio. And where are we going to start today?
Do you want to do the news, Jazz?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just give you a bit of a quick update on some events that we've got coming up,
yep,
maybe.
Yep. That's, sounds good.
So, hang on, just let me bring my little page up.
Little page.
Of course, I won't go into detail about this, but there is on Saturday 25th, is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m, is a gathering over at the hall on Stewart Street, the church, little church hall there, just to... Peggy, I think, believe, is going to come and talk to you about that tomorrow.
Yeah, she'll be in tomorrow to talk about that.
Keep that one on your calendars. And then we have got coming up next Wednesday, the next Science Night. So that's Science Night 16, and the topic is going to be CO2 emission from the Taupō volcanic zone. That's going to be really interesting.
Is that is it currently emitting, or is this historical emitting?
It's ongoing emitting. So there is a...
We've to ban volcanoes.
Yeah, so there is a guy called Jimmy. He's doing a PhD on this topic, actually, specifically. So he's... but he also works for... he's on the hydrothermal systems and mineral team at GNS Science, which is a research centre, and they study that as well.
Are they the ones that give us info about earthquakes? I have a funny feeling.
Yeah. I'm not actually not entirely sure, but Jimmy, I'm sure, will be able to open up to inform people a bit more about that.
So that is on Wednesday the 29th.
So that's Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. at the pub.
Yep.
So get there a bit before 6 so that you can grab a... like a burger and a beer or something while you listen to Jimmy present, and there'll be a Q&A session as well.
Okay.
So this is like, it's what he says he's going to talk about is like the Rotorua geothermal field in New Zealand releases 100,000 tonnes of CO2 into the atmosphere daily, contributing to greenhouse gas emissions. So he measures soil for CO2 flux and to determine surface emissions, and identify anomalies caused by volcanic, tectonic, or anthropogenic activities. Woo!
That last one is the people.
I nearly had a
anthropogenic is the people one, isn't it? Because it is. People may not. I don't know if people are aware, but it is. There's supposed to be a certain amount of greenhouse gases released every year. That it keeps everything in balance, but it's the extra stuff that we've been releasing that's the problem.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Yeah,
but I think this is also helps give a really balanced viewpoint of what is, you know, how what's been released volcanically, the percentage of greenhouse gases emitted, like, you know, across the country as well.
Yeah. So if you're sick of learning about climate change through Facebook memes, this could be a good thing to listen to.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with some of the power plants as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, it'll be really fascinating, actually. And then we've also got a couple of food control plans and verification workshops coming up.
So what does that mean? Exactly?
Well, that's for people who want to make their own, like produce their own food product.
Uh-huh.
And you need to get a verification in order to sell them commercially. You can't just sell food that you make at home.
Right, so this is a health department thing, is it?
It is.
That's them that decides these things.
So we've got someone from the environmental. We've got an environmental health officer from the Waikato District Council who's going to facilitate these workshops. So they're going to be answering your questions, running you through what you need to do to become verified. There's only going to be 4 people per workshop. So we've got 2 workshops happening. One is on Tuesday the 4th and the other's on Tuesday the 18th of April. So that's next month. And they're going to be running from 10 till 11:30.
And that applies to like stallholders at markets as well, I
exactly.
understand.
Yep.
Unless you're a child doing a fundraiser.
It's only fundraisers that don't have to have that food verification.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're a fund, you might be a fundraiser that wants to have a stall at the Raglan Growers Market, and that's fine. You can you know, sell your pickles and your sausages and bread,
yep,
and don't have to worry about that. But if you want to create a business, yeah, and you're cooking food to turn into a product to sell, you need to be verified, or you need, okay, to have a verified kitchen, for example. There might be different levels involved in that. Like, Liz is shaking her head.
It's very
nodding her head,
complicated.
I mean,
if you are entry level thinking about it,
yeah,
it's not easy to find your way. There's many flow charts and things.
Oh, really?
You have to navigate and try and figure out where you fit. So I think this is a really good idea.
Yeah, it is.
To interpret it. And then, you know, I'm in true Raglan styles, I'm sure we can share the knowledge a bit more.
And we might do more of them as well.
Oh, cool. But,
so they're free. There's no charge for these. The council is doing these for free. So we're just going to have them in the, depending, like if there's a big demand for it, because I think four people at a time is a really nice number of people just inside the WEC centre, around the table there going through everything. If there's demand, we'll do more of them.
I think this is part of the reason the old school set up the kitchen out the back there, and there's been a lot of businesses got their start. Raglan Gelato's just moved in to their permanent, way more permanent premises.
I know, yeah, it's good for them.
Which is awesome, but they got the start from the old school kitchen.
We're still there.
Yeah, foraged at Raglan, that's how she started.
Yeah.
She started at the growers market and got verified, and now she's got a great business selling all over the Waikato. Yeah.
So, but it's help with the paperwork is what we're talking about.
It is help with the paperwork. It's also, it may be that you have been thinking about a product that you want to start producing, a food product, but you don't know all the ins and outs or what. Maybe this could help you determine a direction you go in with your food product, and how big you go, how small you go. So this is a really valuable free workshop for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Okay, so they should get in touch with you guys at the Environment Centre.
Well, they can email Tanya directly about this.
Okay.
So this is
Tanya who runs the Growers Market.
Yep. So you can email Tanya on food@whangaroa.org.nz and she'll give you more information if you want. It's pretty basic though, to be honest. So you can register with Tanya. Otherwise, go onto our website and look at events and you'll find more information on that or how to register.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then we've just got one more workshop coming up. All these events are free, by the way. So we've got another workshop coming up. It's Learn How to Make Apple Cider Vinegar. That's a really good one.
Mm.
Yeah.
And who, when, where?
So that is on Saturday, April the 1st, from 10 to 11. And it's making apple cider vinegar. It's so easy. Let Suze Hall show you how.
Okay.
Good on you, Suze. So you just need to bring your apples or feed your scraps or whole fruit, big jars. To register, you can email timebank@whangaroa.org.nz.
Okay, and it's apple season at the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Shopping at the supermarket confuses you about seasons, but
is it just me, or has feijoa season started earlier in the last couple of years?
This year
I missed some of my fruit. I missed it because my trees are down the back.
Why did this?
I was like, what's going on? They usually aren't here till like August, and most of them have already gone.
Yeah, something odd went on with the flowering.
Yeah.
Same. I was dropping.
One also didn't flower that much either. Or it didn't produce much fruit, which
was
odd.
Strange season.
So it's nothing to do with the summer, what happened over summer, the weather over summer. It's when the flowers came out.
Well, maybe it was the amount of rain we had. And
what happened in spring? I can't remember spring anymore.
Well, spring and winter, and, you know, plants have like internal computers.
Yes.
Which compute the weather way beyond what we can do.
Mm.
And so what happened last summer and through the winter will affect their flowering in
the
spring.
Maybe they were predicting the future.
That would be a good science night topic.
Yeah.
We have to find someone.
If you find someone who understands, or do you want to do it, Liz?
Not me, it's beyond me.
I'm
a learner.
To do another one.
Yeah, I'll have a go at that one.
So, Liz, you're here to talk about a couple of things as well. Sorry, Jasmine, are we done with
it?
That was it.
Great workshops.
So, what are we starting with for you?
Well, I thought I'd just give some context around Wick's involvement in Maui Dolphin.
Okay.
And, you know, there's been quite a few questions coming through around, or the people missing the Maui Dolphin Day.
Yeah, so
that we
so
have
for,
had.
So for, to make it, to just set the basis for it, there's no Maui Dolphin Day like we usually have with the raft race over at Papahua.
Correct.
This year. There is Maui Dolphin Gathering. What does that mean? Me Araha yes. Kinga Maui Dolphins Gathering. It's two languages at once.
It's basically love or care for the Maui Dolphin, the Maori word.
Okay. So so Peggy Oki's doing
gathering
that.
About so it's a sort of a it's a slimmed down version of a Dolphin Day in
yes.
that I'll let Peggy speak some more about that, you know, and that there'll be information about what's happening with the dolphin,
yeah.
but it'll be presented in a fun way. Peggy's doing a big art installation, and so she's wants people to come down and participate in her art.
Is it paper dolphins? I think it
yes,
is paper dolphins, isn't it?
It's origami.
Origami dolphins, yes.
And colour as well, not just folding, but there's colour. And then there's games and quizzes around the information, the new information around the dolphins, sort of
yeah.
to present it in a fun way with Paul Murray. So I don't know if people remember Matua X, who was really popular. He used to work with Extreme Zero Waste and go into schools. And
do, MC Maui Dolphin Day.
Yeah,
yeah
and
yeah,
he was
yeah.
the MC for many years.
Yeah,
and we miss him a lot.
Yeah.
He's moved, he now works with Parakore, so that's really cool. He's working on a national level with Parakore, but I'm sure the schools, I think he still goes into schools, but he doesn't live here anymore. So
yeah.
anytime we can get him back to work with us is
so
fantastic.
So he'll be here on Saturday. Yeah.
yeah. So he'll be working with Peggy. So that's that, but it's a chunked down version of a Dolphin Day. It's a 4-hour event.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get lovely weather because down at that Stewart Street site, you know, you've got the lovely grass and the big tree. So if it's
yeah, the weather looks good for
if
Saturday.
If the weather's good, it'll be a yeah. you know indoor outdoor event.
So
and I'll let Peggy tell you the rest.
Yeah, she can tell the rest. But yeah. so what happened with the what was behind the decision to do it differently this year?
Yeah, to put on a big event like the raft race and the Dolphin Day, we have to start very early with our preparation. So because Christmas falls in the middle as well, which slows everything down. Basically, in order to put that event on, you have to start in
September.
Yeah,
getting all your everything lined up, really. And so where we were all at in September,
yeah,
we've basically both organisations have been dealing a lot with COVID and stuff, sickness. We've been short-staffed all the way through.
So this is extreme and weird.
So I can partly blame COVID. It's just our capacity to put on a big event this year
yeah.
has not been there. So in terms of the event organising, it just wasn't going to happen, I'm afraid. So I think personally, and then from a WEC perspective, we also would like to, if we're going to work around the Maui Dolphin, we'd like to be able to have a really firm call to action for our community. So you know, we know now a lot about the plight of the dolphin. We know where it lives. You know, there's quite a good awareness of the dolphin. I mean, you have to keep talking about it because it's still under threat. But what we really want to know is a bit more about how we can, how our community can be involved directly. So, you know, there's
Next
a lot of
plan.
Political. Mm. There's a lot of political stuff. So, you know, some people. Lobbying politically might be their thing, but what can the community or the you know people in their homes at home do to help
yeah.
the dolphin as well or locally? So there's quite a few issues bubbling up in Raglan. So it's probably a good time not to gather all that information up and come up with a firm, like an action plan for our community.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're working on. So we're revitalising the Marine Matters workstream in the Environment Centre, which through COVID kind of shut down. We didn't have funding for
it. So what used to happen with Marine Matters, remember there was a survey of people coming back from their fishing boats to see what they'd seen
and the
out
Maui
there.
Dolphin event was part of Marine Matters. So okay. In terms of our projects at WEC, the Maui Dolphin and all the marine issues are a part of this Marine Matters. So we haven't had funding for that either for a number of years. So we've managed to get funding to get that started up again.
Okay.
So we kicked that off just before Christmas. So we wouldn't have been ready for a Maui Dolphin Day because it's like we will have some information by about June or July around where our focus will be, what we'll be doing.
Yeah.
Because pulling that kind of information together takes quite a lot of time.
Okay.
And more maybe more funding to deliver a program into the community. Yeah, it just doesn't just happen.
And to be able to focus, for that day, to be able to focus about what the intention for WEC's involvement with that, and organising it is as well. We really want clear intention for that event.
So we've stayed involved as much as we can through COVID and Marine Matters not being active. We're involved in the threat management plan for the Maui Dolphin, which is a doc-led thing. I think Jasmine's...
That's a phrase that I've heard a lot in the last few years. Is it something that's occasionally been revisited, the threat management plan? It's like it's a government thing.
Yeah, I've attended the last three annual forums. Yeah. It is a doc. It's doc leads the discussion around what happens with the policy and the threat management plan.
And then the fishing industry tries to water down any proposals. That's you might not say that, but I'll say that.
I mean, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, they have a large chunk of the voice around what happens with the threat management plan.
Yeah.
Even in the forum, while we don't have a voice around it.
Can you tell us who's on the forum?
It's doc-led, so the forum, the way it goes for quite a long time. It's online every year, and it's invitation only, which means you can't bring people along to it online, and they're very strict about it. It's really hard to get the recording afterwards and the documentation about what was discussed. Fisheries get a large chunk of the presentation time. And they run through, they give a large amount of time to the experts talking about toxoplasmosis, which is not actually a proven reason why Maui dolphin pass away.
But they'd love it to be.
They say it is. So there's a little bit of science stuff around that you could dig deeper into.
But there's no evidence of that actually being a leading cause, is there?
No, I think so when they do autopsies of dead dolphins, they look at... they analyse pathogens that the dolphins have in its body.
So they might have something.
They have toxoplasmosis, but they don't know if that's the cause of death. Yeah.
It's like we had discussions around COVID like that. You might die with COVID, but it might not have been COVID that killed you.
Whereas we see Maui dolphin trapped in nets.
Yeah, but it was the toxoplasmosis that actually killed it. It wasn't anything to do with the nets.
But they had toxoplasmosis.
But I was just reading about toxoplasmosis before the over my coffee this morning.
Lovely morning
little
read.
Light reading. So interestingly, the toxoplasmosis, how that threatens the dolphin is it reduces their reproductive
It doesn't help then.
No, so in terms of threatening their future,
it is still a problem.
So Doc has a big research project just kicking off.
What I would say is
3 years toxoplasmosis project, the whole time frame, that's the trouble with science. it takes so long to get the results through.
Yeah, I would say if toxoplasmosis is an issue, it's even more reason not to catch them in nets.
They're compromised.
That's not a distraction from the net issue. That's a double down on the fact that you've got to be careful with them.
And my issue also is that the TMP doesn't honour Te Tiriti either at all, and Tangata Whenua don't get a voice in the forum as well. There's half an hour designated in those couple of hours of online meeting for anyone to ask questions, and that's it.
So this is, so it's run by Doc, but it sounds like it's owned by the fishing industry. How does that even happen? I don't know. No one will want to answer the question. But hey, look, we've got just a few minutes left. What else was there on the chat list?
That was mostly it. Well, from my perspective, I just wanted to give the community and yourself as well, because I know you've been talking about the the event or the lack of event, and I think we do miss it. I think it's an amazing thing to do, is, you know, to have a ocean focused community event at the end of summer that we can, that the community can enjoy when the crowds have gone, and and we do miss it. So you know, I think it'd be great to have a conversation about maybe a slightly different focus. Maybe it's an ocean, a celebratory ocean focus day. It felt a bit strange having a celebratory day about an animal that's becoming more and more extinct. It doesn't feel right to be having an upbeat
and it
day
and it
around.
Felt like the message was getting a bit lost in the last couple of years, that last couple of Maori Dolphin Days I've been organizing. It did feel like the message was getting a little bit lost in the focus. Yeah, so it's just this is just about a regroup.
Yeah,
and it, you know, and then also we've got amazing, like a new, really incredible community celebration that happens for Matariki. You know, like that's something that really pulls the community together. I know that's something we can look forward to again. But I do want to mention we do have a repair cafe that we're we're really excited about opening, starting off, kicking off Raglan's first repair cafe.
So
that's under the umbrella of it's a WEC project, but it's working directly with Repair Cafe Aotearoa.
It's
hopefully
arrived.
Really soon you'll start seeing stuff come out about that
events. I think people have been talking about it for ages, like Extreme's really keen on...
Yeah, it's been a dream we've had for the last couple of years, I think. Yeah,
to have. So there's so many cool fixes in Raglan.
Have we got people who can fix things?
Yes!
We've got so many people that can fix things, and we really want to retain that knowledge locally as well, you know? We don't want people to have to go across the divi to either... buy a new item that's ended up in landfill, or
can I get my stereo amplifier
maybe. Wow, who knows?
Because it used to be like 20, 30 years ago, if you had an electronic equipment in your house, someone would fix it for you. But the way they're made, a lot of them are made now, and the various cost benefit ratio, blah blah blah. It got to the point where, like, I remember 20 years ago, going to someone, there were people here who used to fix things locally, and they'd say, look, it's going to cost this much to fix, or this much just to go and buy a new one. And it was getting to the point where it was not worth fixing them. And I've literally got a stereo amplifier at home that's blown somewhere in it, and I don't really know where. I could check for the fuse, but I don't think it's the fuse. It's both channels. I don't know what to do.
I think we'll learn a lot. We'll learn a lot about... manufacturing and obsolescence and buy what kind of things to buy, you know, wise purchasing so that you can fix things, because a lot of products are designed from scratch, not to be fixed, to be disposed. You can't even get the parts.
It's parts a lot of the time. But there's also, like, the repair cafe, it's not going to be a case of, like, we're just going to be setting up a whole lot of experts in a room and people can come and bring all their stuff to get fixed.
And make them work.
There's going to be a lot more intent behind it. It's going to be about sharing knowledge around how things work and how to fix them. So it's not just going to be somewhere where you can dump your stuff to get fixed for free. If you're an expert, if you're somebody out there in the community, you might be someone retired who has all of this expert knowledge about, you know, an engineering thing or a mechanical thing, or, you know, really basic things like how to get a vacuum cleaner to start sucking properly again. Who knows? Get in touch with us. There's also I've got a friend who's my age who's an IT specialist, and he spends one Sunday morning a month at the Repair Cafe in West Auckland, and all he does is fix people's phones and laptops, and that's what he does once a month for a few hours. And that, so it's, and he loves that. It's one way to give something back to the community.
One thing we do have is it today? I just read the What's On Guide earlier. The community house does have something at 3 PM where Jake and a couple of other guys are there.
Jake's already helping
with devices. I'm not saying he's fixing them, like physically fixing them. I think he's just helping people
to use them who've
got tangled up with the software. Yeah.
Especially people who are a little bit more technologically challenged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is, hold on, that's Thursday. Is it? Is it gone? There we go, there, 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tech support. Yep. Yeah.
So that's not to be confused with what Jake's doing at the community.
Yeah, it's different
house.
To that. Tech support. Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to.
This is hard stuff, more hard stuff. Fixing, physical fixing.
Yeah.
Rather than
repair.
Rather than showing people how to do stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll definitely be doing a call out, won't we, to those people, because they're often a bit shy.
Yeah.
And modest about their skills.
So
if you know good fixers, then, you know, look out for when we do the call out for people to come forward.
And if you've got a dad or a husband or, you know, I just keep thinking back to my dad about he's like the typical Kiwi, I can fix anything, DIYer, and he literally can, and he loves reading manuals.
There are people like that.
And no, but there's nothing that gives him a kick more than actually being the person who is, you know, the person who's just helped someone do something because he's got these amazing skills and, you know, it's that little ego boost.
Well, get your wish. Is your dad far away?
Yeah, he's in Kawerau living through the ongoing quakes at the moment. I think they're over 800 now since Saturday.
Ooh, 800, wow.
Yeah, Mum said that it's like you just constantly feel like the ground is rolling.
Start wondering if you're just dizzy or there's something wrong with your balance system.
They've got, like, one of them is on dizzy pills at the moment, so they don't know any better.
Was that an earthquake or was it just me? Hey, look, we're out of time now, but folks have been talking to Jasmine and Liz from the Environment Centre. Thank you for coming in. Is there any last words we need to say, or we've covered
Enjoy
everything?
The sunshine.
Oh, yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah, and there was a good dump of rain on the gardens overnight, which was fantastic.
The air is so clear because it's like
really crisp. Yeah.
And look at the surf.
It's that cold snap that's happening down south, I think.
Yeah.
It's probably chilly.
The surf is spectacular today too, but pretty wild as well. If you're a beginner, I don't think it's a beginner's day.
No, it looks amazing.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
All right, folks, that's the end of the show for the day. I'll see you all again tomorrow morning.